And if you've got your Bible, to Romans chapter number 8, we're going to continue on where we've been studying together as a church. As I mentioned to you just earlier, that we've been praying very intently, looking forward to a celebration of Easter service and when we might be actively pursuing an opportunity to see others come, first of all, to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and then to follow in believers' baptism. And we've been studying some very specific scriptures in line with some of these things to put us in our hearts and our minds to consider our relationship with Jesus Christ and what He expects of us. And we were reading in the first part of chapter 8 of Romans last week, and we're going to pick up this morning in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 12. Before we go to the Lord here in His Word, and I'd like to pray, I'd like to challenge you in a particular setting this morning. Has come to my heart many a times this week that one of the greatest challenges with maybe not physically being in a church building together is the distractions that can be very easily sneak in. No doubt where you're sitting in your church home or your family's home or in your vehicle or wherever you might be today witnessing and being a part of our worship service, I would challenge you this morning to give time to God, to give this place as we study His Word, to setting aside those distractions, whatever they might be. Put away those cell phones if that's the distraction. Turn off the television or whatever might be impeding in our relationship with the Lord this morning. In our hearts and minds, for those that happen to be here with us in this group this morning, that we would just be able to focus on the Lord and truly hear from Him this morning. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit is not bound by the walls. Lord, that we consider the church today. Lord, that we're reminded this morning that the church, according to the definition of Your Word, is a body of believers that are meeting together in place and unity with You. Lord, we have the luxury of being able to do that through the internet today in a way that maybe has never been realized, Lord, even so much more today than it is right now. Lord, we just thank You, Lord, that we know that Your Holy Spirit doesn't need an internet. Lord, it doesn't need any of the things that we struggle with today or the things that we hold to. Lord, that Your Holy Spirit moves free about this world. And we're trusting this morning, Lord, that Your Spirit would be in this place. Lord, and in every heart and every life that is here to witness this time of worship and fellowship. Lord, I pray this morning as we go to Your Word, Lord, that You would open our hearts, that You would open our ears and our eyes and our mind to the things that You have for us. Lord, I pray most of all that You would speak Your words through me and that today Your church, wherever we might be, might hear Your message. And we trust You and we thank You and we ask these things in Your most precious name. Amen. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 12, Paul writing to the Romans here says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." This morning in those first few verses, he says, therefore, that's in conjunction with the rest of the chapter that we've been reading. And as Paul is writing here, he says, with the example in these things, he uses that term brethren. That's a reference to the church, to brothers and sisters in Christ, in relationship together as we consider it this morning. Anywhere in the context of Scripture, we see that. It's a reference to those of each and every one of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's a challenge for us to think about these things. You consider what he says in that verse. We're debtors, not to the flesh and not to live after the flesh. We are not debted into those things. This morning, as we consider some of the things that are going on around us in the world and the struggle and difficulty of life and challenges that might be set before us, the things of the flesh are the obvious things. We recognize today that the flesh and the burden and struggle of difficulty and illness that is flying around this world today, it's an example of the flesh. And as we've talked about already last week when we studied in the first part of this chapter, the picture of what it means to be carnally minded, to be living according to the world and the things of this world. I would challenge your heart this morning that it is important for the church today and the day that we're living in to live in the Spirit that lives inside of us. to live in celebration of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life and be committed to knowing the things of the Lord and not living after the flesh. Not living after the things that are so much a priority for us. We consider some of the changes that are very quickly coming upon us in our society right now. It's an opportunity for us to recognize that the Spirit of God is still at work. And the Spirit of God is moving in our hearts and in our lives. And He wants to lead us in the things that are going on. He wants to give us direction. He says in verse 13, "Therefore, if you live after the flesh, you shall die." It's not hard for us to comprehend that we look around the world today. When we live in the flesh, our flesh is going to die. It is part of our life, right? It is part of living. The moment we are born, we begin that process of death. We're moving in that direction from the minute we are born into this earth. And it is a great challenge for us to consider the life that we have in relationship with Jesus Christ beyond the physical death. He says here, if we live in the flesh, and this morning as a church, if you're living for the things of this world, you have to understand that it is going to come to an end. Those days and those times will end. That is the thought and the burden on the hearts of many today. Throughout this week, I've received many phone calls, many texts, many conversations just in between with other people that are concerned about what is going on in our world and what does this mean for the church and what does it mean for the world around us. And I want to challenge your heart this morning to consider that it means that today is the day that we get serious about Jesus Christ. Today is the day that we're committed to the things that we say and we do in our life. We stop living after the flesh and we start living according to the Spirit. He says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, then you shall live. The opportunity we celebrate this morning when we consider what we've been praying for diligently, that God would bring others to Himself. It's an opportunity to know what it really means to live. If you don't have relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, you have not experienced life. You have not experienced what it's like to know what Jesus can do in your life and what it means to be in a body of believers and a family that is moving and working in a direction that God has called us to, and knowing what God can do in this place and an opportunity. He says in 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," He says, "they are the sons of God." It brings us into this reminder this morning that we are truly a family. It doesn't matter whether we're gathered here in a building or we're gathered all over the country or we happen to be looking through the internet or any other option that we have today. We are a family if we are born into relationship with Jesus Christ. We are the family of God and we ought to live as though we're family. You know, we consider family in our everyday physical lives. Family is kind of important. When things are going on in the world around us like we are, that's first priority. We want to worry about family. We want to worry about how our husbands and our wives and our children and our parents and our grandparents and the people that are closest to us, we get personal. We get to this place where we question and we struggle and we worry. Today, I want to challenge your heart to be reminded that through this time, it's a great opportunity to be the family of God that He's called us to be, and know that we can rise above any of these challenges because of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's the Spirit of God that's guiding us this morning. And He says, we are the sons of God. And it is a joy in the heart of the believer today to know that we have been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. It is only because of Him and His precious shed blood on the cross that we have what we have today. There's an opportunity for us this morning in the church to celebrate. And He gets to the next verse here, gives us a reminder of something that is very precious. If we define from the Word of God in verse number 15, He says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." It's important for us to define that. We see in your Bibles, in the Scriptures, if you read there with me, that term Abba has not been translated from the original language for a reason, because it holds something very special, something very precious, and it brings a definition from the Scriptures. If you define that as truly as my daddy, and it brings us to a place where we understand that God the Father desires to be our daddy today. To be that person that we would consider that is more to us than anything in this world. To know that our daddy in heaven knows your needs. He knows your desires. He knows your worries and your fears. And as Paul writes it here, that we would not be brought to that situation of bondage again. I want you to know this morning in the life of the church, God has not intended for any one person to be in a bondage of sin today. The Bible is very clear that God sent His one and only begotten Son to that cross so that we might celebrate freedom from our sin today. And despite the things that are going on around us, the sin that is in our world, God has provided an opportunity to move past that. We do not have to live in bondage. And this morning in the life of the church, I want to encourage your heart not to live in the bondage of this sin, but to live in relationship with the Heavenly Father. He says, we have received the Spirit of adoption. We are the family of God, and we have opportunity to cry out to God the Father as our Daddy, as our Lord and our Savior and our God and the King of this universe, and a God that loves us in the deepest, darkest moments of our life. And He loves us in the joys and the excitement of our life, in the encouraging parts of our life. He says in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with the Spirit that is in us. The Bible tells us when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, His Spirit moved in. His Spirit became a part of who we are. And our bodies are now the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. He said that Spirit that lives inside you is in relationship with the Holy Spirit, as He says there. And we are the children of God. And it bears witness of that. And this morning I want you to consider, what does it look like for the Holy Spirit to bear witness of Himself in your life? The evidence today that we are a church that is not afraid of the things of this world, or the sin of this world, or the challenges that might come before us, is to know that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and we live in the Spirit that is guiding us. And we now exhibit some of the signs that Scripture gives us that we have the Holy Spirit. Those pictures of love and joy, patience and long-suffering, kindness and gentleness is an evidence of a Holy Spirit that lives in us, and it's an evidence that the world today needs to see from you and I as a church. The evidence that there is a Holy Spirit that is greater than anything else in this world. The evidence that I celebrate, as I shared with you just this morning, and an opportunity to know that there are no bounds when God works and when we can have a conversation with somebody over a telephone, and they get to a place where they know that Jesus is most important to them and they pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, God is not bound by the things that we struggle with today. And that's an evidence that bears witness of a Spirit that is working. And I'm convinced this morning, wherever you might be, that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart. He's working in your life, and He's calling us as a church to rise beyond what we've been doing and live in obedience to Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him and bear witness of what is in our life. He says not only is it a bearing witness of those things and that we are the children of God, but that we're heirs. That there's something beyond in our world today. That picture of an heir usually comes associated with a monetary thing. Somebody believes that they're an heir to this family fortune. They're heir to somebody's stuff. They get a big fancy house or an old car or whatever it is that's precious, grandma's special china or whatever it might be. Things today that the world puts priority in. We have a situation as a Christian that we have a hope in heaven. And we have something we're going to inherit that will not pass away. We have hope of everlasting life in heaven with Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. And He says, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. I want to challenge your heart this morning to consider, if you're in serious relationship with Jesus Christ today, you ought to come to a place in your life where you expect a little bit of turmoil. You expect a little bit of suffering. And we might see that today. We might consider that today. I personally take it as a little bit of suffering in my heart individually, because I don't get to see each and every one of you here with us today worshiping. That's something that burdens my heart. To have a situation where the church cannot physically be together the way that we like to be. But it's the Holy Spirit that guides us through these times. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us and encourages us and lifts us to a place where we can rely on the Spirit of God in our life and trust Him in every detail of our life. And He bears witness of those things, and we have relationship. And that He says that we would suffer with Him. And when we suffer with Him, that we know that we'll be glorified with Him. That we'll have hope of everlasting life. And this morning, as you consider some of these things in our life this morning, think about what it looks like to live in life today in this country. And to know that without a doubt, I am convinced there's probably more to come. What we see today is just the beginning of the suffering and struggle of a sinful world. But it's just the beginning of an opportunity for a God that is greater than those things to begin moving, to begin working in the hearts and the lives of the church. He says in verse number 18, Paul, very familiar verse to some of you probably, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The suffering of this time, whatever it might look like, it is no accident this morning that we're reading these verses. Without a doubt, we've been building to these verses for weeks and months. It's not something that God just threw out there today for you to think about. We are living in these verses. We're studying these today because God has perfect timing. Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this world and the things that we see today are in nothing in comparison to what we know in Jesus Christ. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory of God. Look what he says, which shall be revealed in us. I want you to consider this morning as the church that in the times of struggle and difficulty in your life, the questions and worries and fears of all the things that might go on in your life today, whether it revolves around the current situation or something much more than you've been dealing with beyond all of these things that we hear on the media today. The struggles of your life, the questions and the worries and fears that maybe you've been holding on to for decades in your life are things that God is calling for us to give to Him. To recognize our position before God. And they're not even worthy to be compared to the glory that God is going to reveal. And he says in that verse very specifically, in us. That's in the body of Christ. Without a doubt, God wants to reveal some things in our world today that we've never seen before. He wants to reveal His Holy Spirit and His presence in our lives. He wants to reveal the need for a Savior in the hearts and lives of people that have never met Jesus Christ today. And He's given us the direction in His Word for these things. He says in 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Delivered into freedom, that picture of liberty, as children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, he says, what? Until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And the Heavenly Father gives us direction from His Word and a reminder this morning in the life of the church. We recognize your condition before God today. And the opportunity we have as a church to long for the coming of Jesus Christ. To long for the coming of what the days might look like when the hurt and struggle and challenge of this world is gone and we're celebrating in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And it's a condition of our heart today. It's a situation in the heart and the life of every believer this morning that we would come to a place of recognition that our focus and our thoughts are on the kingdom of God. That our eyes this morning are not on the things that are directly in front of us and the worries that might present themselves today and tomorrow and next week. But that we would look on the glory of God in the days that are coming when we can celebrate the movement of our God in this great country that we live in. We can see the movement of God in the universe around us. He says the creatures itself also is in this situation, right? The creation around us. The things that we are evidenced before us today. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. He says until now, till a recognition of the truth of who Jesus Christ is. We live in a world today where people are truly searching for something. Without a doubt today, people are wondering, where do we go? What do we do? What's next? What's going to happen today? What's going to happen tomorrow? I can assure you this morning, God's Word is very clear. There's some direction for us today from the Word of God. We may not know tomorrow. We may not know what today holds for us in just a few hours, in just a few minutes. Life might be different for us, but we know who holds the future. We may not know what it looks like, but we know who guides and leads in the days ahead. And we wait, he says, for the adoption, for the redemption of our body. For we are saved, look what he says in verse number 24, by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? I want you to consider this morning what Paul says. What really is hope this morning? And where is our hope today as the church? Where is our hope this morning in the world that we're living in? Hope, genuine, true hope, can only be found in relationship with Jesus Christ. can only be found in knowledge of God the Father as King of this universe. And hope this morning for each and every one of us is defined for us. We are saved by hope. When we consider this morning, what are we saved from? Right? The world wonders, what are we saved from? What do we need to be saved from? From ourselves, from our sin, from our sinful nature, from the evil desires that creep into our hearts and into our lives. And this morning, if you have never committed your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to know God gives us hope. He gives you hope in your life today that no matter what you might be facing, no matter the challenges or struggles of your life today, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in knowing that all the Scripture tells us is very simple. It's a great wonder for us to consider this morning how simple our great God made salvation for us. You consider this morning, what did Jesus do for us? We come in very quickly approaching to Easter. And that's the thought and the idea in our hearts most oftentimes is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know this morning that we can't celebrate a resurrection of a Savior if He never died. But Jesus died on a cross for every person in this universe. For you and for I and for every person that you like and every person you don't like. He died for everyone. And the Bible tells us He shed His blood on that cross to take care of the sin that you and I had. The Bible says very simply that the way to know this hope in Jesus Christ is to simply believe that God sent His one and only begotten Son to die on a cross for you. And to know that the only cure for your sin in your life today is to accept that gift that God gave to you, that gift of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for you, it was shed for me. And it's just like any other gift. It's only truly a gift for you if you're willing to receive it. We can hand things to people. We can give gifts to people. But we know that the second part of that giving is actually receiving the gift of Jesus Christ. I want you to consider this morning the gift that Jesus has given to every one of us. And we recognize, we believe, the Bible says. We admit that we're a sinner. We're all a sinner. It's not hard to determine today. Every one of us sin. We all fail. We recognize I'm a sinner and I need something to take care of that sin. And Jesus took care of that for me. The Bible says we believe. It's as simple ABCs of what it means to be a Christian. We believe in our heart that the only cure for my sin problem was Jesus Christ on the cross. His blood shed for me. There's no works that I could accomplish. There's no money that I could give. There's no attendance to church that would get me to this place. It is simply believing that Jesus is the only way for me to know who God is and what He wants for me in my life. And we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the propitiation, the Scripture says, for our sin. He stepped in for us. He took that place for you and I. So we didn't have to die on a cross. And then the next part of those ABCs is that simple C that says, I confess. I confess before each and every person that might be in the presence at that day and that moment. I confess most of all to God the Father that the only cure for my sin is Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart that I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. It's as simple as that. And He brings us to this place of redemption. He says in our body, we are saved by hope. We have hope because we haven't seen Jesus. I haven't seen Jesus physically, but I've seen the evidence of Jesus every day of my life. We see the evidence of Jesus Christ in this place right now. Wherever you might be, the evidence of Jesus is here. And it is by hope that we have salvation. Hope that is seen is not truly hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? You ever consider what that really means? If we're hoping for something we can see, it's in front of us. We already have it. Right? It's right smack in front of us. We hope for the relationship with Jesus Christ. We hope for eternity. We hope when we come to salvation and relationship with Jesus Christ, we change our hope to not only knowing Jesus Christ, but getting to be with Jesus Christ. And our hope changes from the things of this world to opportunity for eternity. And what heaven might look like. And what it might mean to worship and to celebrate together with our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the saints written for us in Scripture. Hope today. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I want to encourage your heart this morning as a church to be patiently waiting for Jesus Christ. Patiently waiting for what God is doing in this world and knowing that the call that God has given to the church today is that we wait patiently for His timing, His plan, His purpose in our life. And while we're waiting, we do exactly what He's called us to do. The Bible tells us very plainly God has given us direction that the call and responsibility of every one of you that profess Jesus Christ as your Savior is to be a witness and a light to the world. To share this hope of Jesus Christ with every person that you know. Every person that you come in contact with. To give hope to others that don't know Jesus Christ. We hope for these things. We with patience wait for it. Verse number 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I want you to know this morning that there is a God that loves you, and there's a Holy Spirit that is making intercession on your behalf and my behalf today before the Heavenly Father. Because there are things in my heart and my life today that I can't even utter. There are prayers in my life I don't even know what to ask for today. We're in a condition and a situation in the world today where people don't even know. What do I ask for? What am I searching for? What am I supposed to say to God? What are we supposed to be praying for? If you're wondering this morning what you need to pray for God's direction in your life. Pray, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, pray that Jesus would be the Lord of your life this morning. Give Him your heart, give Him your life. According to the Scripture, it says that He would be the Lord of our life. That means He's in charge and you're no longer in charge. If you've committed your life to Jesus Christ today and you've allowed Him to be the Lord of your life, then pray what God leads in your life. And when you don't know what to pray, pray anyways. When you get to a place in your life, when you've come to a situation, you don't know what's next, you don't know what to pray for, you don't know whether to be afraid, I promise you, you don't need to fear. Because God is in charge. Despite what anybody else might say, despite what you might hear on the television, you might hear in the news, you might hear from your neighbors or your friends or a stranger down the street or whatever might come about, God is in control. And God is leading in this place today. As opportunity for us this morning to celebrate our relationship with the Spirit. He helps our infirmities. He helps in our weakness, in the weakness of my life spiritually, in the weakness of my life physically. The Spirit of God helps. And He guides in our life. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession. That means He goes to the Heavenly Father and He says, you know what, Heavenly Father, BJ is lost and struggling today. He doesn't know what to pray for. I want to pray for him. And the Spirit does that for you and I in the deepest moments of our life. With groanings, He says, which cannot be uttered. It brings an understanding to our life this morning, today, as a Christian, for you, for me. There are going to be days when you just don't know. And that's the opportunity to learn to trust in a God that does know. We know who holds the future. And He searcheth, in verse 27, the hearts. Think about that. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints. And look what He says in verse 27. I want you to think of this morning. And an opportunity to close us this morning. I want you to know that there's a Spirit that intercedes on your behalf and my behalf daily. Continually before the throne of our God. And He intercedes on our behalf, and He intercedes, as the Word says in that verse, according to the will of God. This morning, would you pray for the will of God? Would you be willing to allow God to do what He desires to do in your life? The Scripture is very plain. It tells us very simply, the will of God is that not one person in this world would perish. And that perish has nothing to do with the physical life that we talked about. It has everything to do with your spiritual condition today. It is the will of God that every person in this universe would know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf for the will of God in our life. That we would be used of God. That we would be a servant of God. I don't know where you are this morning in your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know the condition of your heart. You may be fearful. You may be wondering and questioning. You may not even have a clue what to know and what to think. But I know that God knows exactly what's best for you. And He has a plan and He has a purpose for you. And just as we always do in our worship time together, we're going to have an opportunity for an invitation this morning. And that picture of invitation is an invitation. That's just exactly what it is. It's inviting you to do what God has asked you to do today. If that means for you that you need to get serious this morning and you need to come to a place of realization that maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you in these next few minutes when this song plays that you would get serious. That you'd put aside the distractions right now and you'd get on your knees wherever you are. You get in a place where you can be alone with God and you ask Jesus to come into your heart this morning. You ask Him to be the Lord of your life and to guide you in your life from this day forward, to forgive you of the sins in your life and to truly be God of your life today. If you can say this morning you've honestly done that, maybe God's called you to do something else. Maybe you've been holding on to being obedient to the Lord. Maybe God's called you. You need to step up and take a step of obedience in baptism. And you've just not been willing to do that just yet. We're going to have a baptism service one way or another. We're going to do it. If it doesn't happen on this universe, we're going to do it in heaven when we get there. But we're going to celebrate. We're going to baptize people that want to get baptized. I want you to know the Word of God says being baptized is your first step of obedience once you've accepted Jesus Christ. If you need to do that, I want you to get a hold of us. We're going to find a way to help you get that done. We come and do it right there at your home. We got a portable baptistry. We can do it anywhere. And we can do it in the confines of what the government says we have to do. It's no problem at all. Be serious about God. Maybe God's calling you to come and be a part of this church. We may not be able to be together physically, but if God's calling you to be a part of this church, your opportunity is here. We'll take care of that. You come and join this church and be what God's called you to be. Maybe God's calling you to just get on your knees this morning and confess some sin and recommit your heart and your life to Him today and know that you maybe haven't been where God's called you to be lately. If you're willing to do that, make a commitment today. One of the opportunities we have today, some of you aren't here with us. Nobody's watching but Jesus Christ. There's no more excuse for you today. There's no more excuses. You couldn't make it to church because God is in this place and He's in your heart today. Would you be willing to do what God's called you to do? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before You. We thank You, Lord, for Your most precious Word. I thank You, Lord, for Your truth and Your guidance. As we read it together, we're reminded this morning, Lord, that we not live after the flesh and the things of this flesh, but we would live in Your Spirit today. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, as Your Spirit is working in our hearts and our lives all over this place, Lord, all over the world that people might be watching today, Lord, that they'd make a commitment to You this morning. Lord, they'd not hesitate any longer. Or we know the days may be short. The time on this earth may be coming close to an end. And the return of our Savior might be closer than ever before today. And Lord, Your Word tells us that today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity for us to be right before You. And Lord, I pray in this time as we sing a hymn of invitation that we would be obedient to You today, whatever You've called us to do. Lord, maybe we need to make decisions and we need to make our relationships right with others. Maybe we need to confess sin before You and go find somebody else and make our relationships right. Help us to do that. Lord, whatever Your will is in this place and wherever individuals are this morning, Lord, I pray You'd help us to do what You've asked us to do without hesitation. We trust You today, Lord. We give our heart and our life to You, asking all these things in Your most precious name. Amen. For those of you that are here with us in the building, I'm going to ask you to stand with us. We're going to have an invitation. If God's called you to do something, there's an altar up here. You can come and get on your knees. Wherever you are, honor God in this time. Spend time in relationship with Jesus.
The Father in His wonderful face.
You've made a decision for Christ wherever you are today. Don't keep that to yourself. Share that with others. Share it with us as a church. We want to know, although we can't be together physically, we want to know what God's doing in your heart. Please reach out. If you don't know my number, you don't know how to get a hold of me, get on the internet, get on the Facebook, get on the webpage. It's all there. It's all right in front of you right now. Let us know. We want to be a part of what God's doing in your life. Continue to stay faithful. Trust the Lord. If you have other concerns, questions, I want you to reach out to me. Anytime, any opportunity we have, we want to come alongside you and help you walk in your relationship with the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for your word and your truth. Lord, I thank you that you moved in your spirit in this place and all over the world today. Lord, wherever your word has been heard this morning, we know that your scripture says it will not return void, and we know that your spirit is working. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit would move freely in our hearts and our lives, and we would see your hand at work. Lord, in the world around us today, we trust you with the days ahead and whatever might be coming. Lord, I pray that you would give wisdom and understanding to the leadership in our country. Lord, that they would understand and look to you. Lord, that your Holy Spirit might work and convict in the hearts and the lives of the people that are leading this great country. And they might see you and know you. Lord, and guide us as a country to the place we need to be today. Lord, I pray that your spirit would move and work. We pray all these things in your most precious and wonderful name, and we ask it. Amen.